The possibility of successfully navigating an asteroid field is approximately 3,720 to 1.
Never tell me the odds.
I'm Pete Mitchell. He's Peyton Jones. And this is the Church Planner Podcast.
Hey, Church Planner, this is Pete Mitchell.
And I am Peyton Jones, and I am not Pete Mitchell.
How's that?
Okay, the one listener we had just stopped listening to the podcast.
Oh, Pete started singing like the sweet angel of music he is before this.
And so I forgot to tell you. So... Mackenzie, I think, is a little, by the way, for our listeners, Mackenzie's my daughter. She's 11 years old. Mackenzie's a little bit jealous that we did the episode with Luke.
Oh, yeah.
On Star Wars. Because she's like, she goes, I think we need to watch Toy Story 5 and we need to do a podcast on Toy
Listen,
Story
5. I will do this on one condition. You and I apply for a press pass to the San Diego Comic-Con because we can easily get it. We already qualify. We just need to do it. Have AI, have one of your little robots do it. Get us press passes and let's go to San Diego Comic-Con.
Well, the problem is I don't want to actually watch Toy Story 5. Like Norman. When my family went to go see it, I skipped. I'm like,
I didn't see 4, brother.
Let's go have fun.
Yeah.
I did see 4. From what I was told, I was in the theater for 4. I might have fallen asleep. I don't know.
Yeah, see, I can't remember because I saw one with, like, was it Stinky Pete or something like that, where he's like this old prospector.
I have no idea. I don't remember.
I think there was one in a daycare, and I think those are two different ones, but I can't tell if they're the same.
No, those are. There's definitely one in a daycare. The 4 is the one that had the trash, like the Forky, which was like a fork with like pipe cleaners around it.
Yeah, yeah, like that. That was one I actually kind of thought looked cool because he looked really funny, but.
I don't know. I honestly don't remember. I don't care. I don't want to see 5.
Yeah, know? No, I got you. I have let our audience down. I owe our audience an apology. And particularly Brandon Brooks, who was so excited and sent me so many cool things. I have not seen Masters of the Universe in the theater.
And Neither have I. I went and saw Disclosure Day.
Oh.
Did you see that?
No, I haven't seen any movies for a while.
Do you know what Disclosure Day is?
Yeah, it's like the Spielberg one, right?
It's Spielberg, and it's Spielberg, so it was great.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, it's an alien movie, and Disclosure Day is about the day it's finally disclosed to the public what's been going on for the last 80 years.
Oh, that sounds great. Okay, but here's the thing, Pete. I, in no way, shape, or form... enjoyed, and this is why it's a miracle we're friends, right? Because we totally dislike totally different movies and love different movies. I thought Independence Day was trash.
It was the best, corniest movie ever made.
See?
Like, you can't go into that one going, this is going to be a high quality. No, this is going to be incredibly corny, and I'm going to see it.
Yeah. I mean, but it, you know, I, for some reason, I thought Spielberg did that.
No,
because it was such a hit.
Oh, Independence Day?
Yeah. Who did, was that that guy who blows everything up?
Probably.
Something Juan or whatever.
No, I don't think it was
James Juan or whatever.
I'm not looking it up, but.
Anyways, hated that movie. Hated it. And,
no, so here was an interesting reason. So. And I'm going to share this because this actually dovetails into church planning.
Does he give birth to himself? Dude, is this a spoiler alert coming?
People don't understand that reference, man. To me, that's like the greatest reference ever. Okay, no. So this is why I would encourage everyone go watch Disclosure Day, because there's a government agency, right, that's trying to keep everything suppressed, right? Just that's the antagonist. Is you got, you know, the government who wants to keep it all secret, that they got all this stuff and blah, 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 all that. But one of their big arguments of why they don't disclose all the stuff about aliens, what is that going to do to people's religious views. Like when all of a sudden you tell them there are gods, like, because they were basically giving aliens deity status in their mindset. Like, that's just going to confuse everybody, right? And this one nun's like, no, the Bible in Genesis said that, man was the supreme being on earth or whatever it was. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what you guys are talking about. I don't remember this at all in Genesis. I'll have to go back and reread because I don't know, maybe I missed something. But then you and I have talked about like C.S. Lewis and that one book that he did. And I always thought that was a, and I've used it, his line, what if our planet is the one that turned away from God? Like, what if we're an example to the rest of the universe of what happens when you don't follow God? And you don't, like, to me, that makes perfect sense. I don't know what God did. I have no idea what he did with the rest of the universe. There's nothing that says they have to have fallen. And by the way, if I haven't fallen and I'm looking at a planet that is fallen, I ain't going there. I'm not visiting. Like, I'd be like, dude, I'm staying as far away from them as possible. Like, they're the cautionary tale. But anyway, so that's why I really enjoyed Disclosure Day. One, because it's aliens, right? But also, it's just like the whole, religious and all that that comes into play. And then, you think about what was it? I don't remember. It was in sometime in the last couple of years that the government, officially released all their UFO information. And I remember when that happened, it like didn't even make a blip on everyone's radar because everyone's like, I don't believe you anyway. So
That
absolutely
was this year. That
nothing.
was months ago.
Was it months ago? Yeah. I was just like, absolutely no way would I believe anything the government says. Like, I don't believe them.
This time though, Pete, we're telling the truth.
Yeah,
You
exactly.
know, hey man, I seen the X-Files. I know how this all works. Yeah, I mean, Well, the government's going to do what the government thinks is going to benefit the government. There's always going to be a motive for whatever they do. They're not just one day, we think this is unfair that we haven't told people about our alien program. The government will use it to the best end to serve the government, not us. But anyways, well, hey Pete, what's going on in your life? Anything good? You all settled in your new house?
Not, I mean, settled in is definitely not the word I would use, but so the family's all in California this week. So I'm living the bachelor life. And I
Nice.
gotta
What are
be
we
honest with
having for
you,
dinner and lunch and breakfast?
I have been having nothing. Well, first breakfast and lunch, I eat the same thing every day anyway.
What?
My dinners, well, my usual healthy food, and then I go crazy at dinner.
Do you? Okay. So walk me through the healthy food. I don't know this.
Oh, anything that's natural. Like if it's God made, I'll eat it. If it's man made, I don't
Fruit.
eat it.
Fruit. Like, what are we talking? Like, what was
For
breakfast
me,
today?
it's always eggs. I
Nice.
use like lately I've been on a kick where I have an egg sandwich. So I use Ezekiel bread because Ezekiel bread has no sugar in it. And so yeah, I toast it up, stick my egg in there, put a little slice of Swiss cheese. Loving that. And
I'm
then
loving
lunch,
that
it's
too.
usually a hamburger on Ezekiel bread. And then dinner, it's, last night it was Buc-ee's, which wasn't a good dinner at all. But I was like,
Buc-ee's?
oh, yeah.
You ate at Buc-ee's?
Well, I got my food at Buc-ee's and I brought it home.
What'd you get?
It was a brisket burrito, I believe.
Yeah, it was. Come on.
Yeah, it was.
I'm living vicariously through you right now. There's no Buc-ee's within like 1,000 miles of me.
No, that's because they stay out of communist places. That's just, Buc-ee's is smart like that. But
I
yeah, I
haven't.
mean, it's been fun the last couple of days.
No. It's been fun without my family the last. You're
It
supposed to
is.
at least pretend like, oh, I get by. I miss them. But I totally got to go to the firing range. You got to do the preamble.
I'm amazed at how many fewer dishes I go through than they go through. First of all, it's
Dude.
paper plates for everything. Why clean it when I can throw it away? And then this is the part that my wife is going to think is gross when she comes home on Friday. So for my eggs every morning, I've just been using the same pan. Like I'm like, why? I mean, there's nothing in it. Why am I going to go get a dirty pan? Like
Why is that gross?
I'm cook. It's getting hot. It's cooking off any bacteria that's been sitting
That's
in there.
right.
since
That's
yesterday
right.
morning. I'm just,
Do you give it a little rinse and swirl, Pete, or does it just.
oh no. I just put a fresh coat of Pam on it. Take some eggs in there. Let's go.
That's rad.
I am not gonna run out of dishes. Like, we run out of
Well,
dishes daily at this house.
so my dad was a bachelor, and when I went to live with him, he would cook up like a steak, and it didn't matter what. Like he was a good cook, and he would cook stuff up, and he'd eat it directly over the sink.
Oh,
You know,
nice.
like out of the pan, he'd take it over the sink, and he'd just eat it there. No dishes, no mess. This was a professional man. Like he was. It wasn't like he was living out of his
I
car.
understand that so well.
Do
Because why?
you know when Andrea is not here? Guess what I do? I make food and I eat it over the sink. The sink is my bowl. It's like, anything that falls in there just gets washed down, like I don't need to sit, I don't need a table, I don't need a plate, I may not need silverware. Just pick up that steak and eat it over the sink. We're good,
Dude, have you seen that video? There was an Instagram reel where, because here in Texas, we've had the World Cup. Like, this is where the World Cup's been. And so people from all over the world have been coming here. And apparently, all these videos are like how much they love America and are like, whatever we've been told about America is a lie. This is the greatest country in the world. Like, apparently, the English are like, what is this AC? We don't have AC over there. This is the greatest thing ever. And so there's this video. I gotta send it to you. I gotta find it and send it to you.
Oh, please do.
These two guys from somewhere in the UK. I don't know if it was England, whatever. I have no
Oh
idea.
yeah. Yeah, no
They
AC there.
they're at a barbecue joint and they're about ready to take the ribs and cut it with a knife. And the guy comes over and he goes, I'm sorry, sir, I can't let you do that. They're like, what? He goes, do not use a knife on that meat. And then he looks at the other guy and he goes, put that fork down. You use your fingers. You pick up the meat
Nice.
and eat it. And they're like, what? I've never had meat so soft that I could just rip. And they take like
Dude,
the first bite and it's like,
I
what?
kid you not.
What?
You go to a pizza place over there and they give you silverware. They literally cut up their pizza with a knife and fork and eat it.
Are you
It's a
serious?
polite. Oh, dude, I'm telling you.
Wow.
British people are they're civilized, this is what they do. But
Well, then
yeah,
I'm a
man.
heathen.
No, I'm with you, brother. I'm exactly with you, 100. So my brother, when he got married, his wife would make him. She'd go away and she'd make him like a cheesecake, from scratch. She also is a great cook, and she put a cheesecake in there. And she'd call him up and she'd be like, "How you doing?" He's like, "Good." He goes, "My tummy hurts." She's
I ate
like,
the whole thing.
"Yeah," and she's like, "Why?" He's like, "Oh, I got home and I was hungry and." I saw he made me a cheesecake and I just ate it. She's like, "What? That was supposed to last you the week. That was your dessert." And she'll have like meals ready made for him to eat, but he'll skip all that. He'll just eat the if she buys him a big tub of ice cream, if she's not there, he'll just sit down and eat that whole tub of ice cream or half the, three quarters of the tub of ice cream. My tummy hurts. So whenever I would call him, so she stopped doing that. She stopped making him desserts when she goes away.
That's
So,
funny.
and he's not going to go buy himself dessert. So and granted, this is a guy that worked, in the Pentagon, a good chunk of his life. Like he's a highly capable dude. But yeah, he just, he can't help himself with that. So, all right. Well, hey, let's get into it,
Let's do it, eh?
Hey, take off, eh? Take off, you hoser.
Great Scott, it's time for this week's topic.
Let's get down to the nitty-gritty,
Hey, did you have to throw that on there?
it's Canadian nacho. All right. Okay, so I want to do a little bit of an update on we said that we'd occasionally do a church planning diary. And I want to do a church planning diary today because we had such a cool but typical day in the life of a church plant last Sunday. So if you'll indulge me, I will kind of preempt this by saying, Ralph Moore, who goes to the church plant, came up to me and said, "In the last 8 years since I have left Hope Chapel, Honolulu, that is the best church experience I have had.
Mm.
You know, because he was here living down close to San Diego, trying to go to a, you know, he's tried a couple churches. But what's amazing, and the reason I share that is it was gonna be one of those days, and you know what I'm talking about when I say it's one of those days in church planning where we talk about the church planning pistons, where half of the pistons are up and the other half are down. We literally had three quarters of our church away.
Oh.
And we knew going into it. So I was like, do I just do one group with like 15 chairs or, you know, because on a full day we're 40, you know. I mean, we've only been in this building a few months. And on a low day, we're about 20. And I actually thought, oh man, we'll be 10 or 15 today. And we ended up being over 20, but that's because new people were coming and people were checking out and people were bringing their friends and what have you. But I knew going into it, okay, this is not my first rodeo. I know how this is. Sometimes, and I don't know if you guys know this, when you have children, and then all of a sudden, you know, maybe the grandparents are in town and they're like, hey, why don't you guys go out? And you're like, we haven't been out in years, you know, like, no, go out on a special date, catch a movie, go to dinner, you know, go dancing, whatever. And you get out and you're at the table and you're like, this is cool. I forgot what this was like. So, going into it, I was like, all right, Lord, I know what you do. I know what you do if we align ourselves to really focus on you. It's going to be amazing. Your spirit's going to turn up. So when it's like everyone else is gone, it's just us. It's almost like hearkening back to the early days when we were in the house and it was smaller. And I've told my core team repeatedly, as we grow, you're going to miss this, right? Now, keep in mind, our gathering has a bunch of little small groups, little half circles. So our thing that we say is we're reproducing a bunch of living rooms, right? But this is still going to be a, you know, like, let's be honest, like human psychology, like, man, you know, like we're small today. I don't care who you are. We tend to align our worth with our success. And we've talked about this many times on Church Planner podcasts that numbers do not mean success. And all of you that know this know that I'm not a launch large guy. I am a let's see what the Lord does. And I haven't had a church plant fail. felt like I was a knock on wood, but that's superstitious. But you know, I just trust that God is doing what he does. And I wouldn't be here doing this if he hadn't led me, right? Like, I have never yet said, you know, it'd be a good idea planting a church. Those of you that know me know I don't like planting churches. I like them in the sense that I'm doing what God calls me to do, but I don't do it for love of the game, like it's my hobby or sport. I do it when God calls me to do it, and I love to serve him and I love to see him turn up. But it wouldn't be my chosen field. Like, I've been at the helm of a mega church. I've been at a famous legacy church, Lloyd Jones's church. I've been in the pulpits and preached in those and led congregations. I've been in rural churches, collegiate churches, community churches. A church plant is not my first go-to. And it's just kind of ironic that I keep getting called back to it. And the Lord has me as kind of like a church planting guy. Because that's not, you know, I would love to be in some rural community church that has high liturgy and, you know, a little charismatic to it. So we got some life in us, but interactive, like all the things I love are in my church. By the way, we started doing, we do communion every single week. But while I was away, Bo for the first time did a creed. And he was like, the church loved it. And I was like, that's cool because I didn't introduce that, but I wanted to. But they're like, this is the coolest thing ever, you know? So, but with the church plants that I plant, I just church one I want. I mean, I plant the one I want to go to. So if I can't be at the church, you know, like that old hippie song, if you can't be with the one you love, you better love the one you're with. You better love the church you're planting. You better make it good So that's what we're doing. And so, anyways, going into it, it was just good. You know, we had a guest worship leader, which that can always be hit or miss, but we have a really good rotation of guest worship leaders. But this is the thing. I just prayed into it, like, all right, Lord, we're gonna do stuff different today. We set up the chairs different, still two groups. It was okay. Normally, what I'll do is I'll do the 10-minute preach and then the 10-minute discussion, the 10-minute preach, 10-minute discussion. And I'll have them work stuff out at their table. And then we have open time. Open time is in between some of the songs. You have people, do you want to share anything? You want to share a word from this, you know, word of scripture? Do you want to share something the Lord's laid on your heart? Do you want to share a testimony? Anything goes during that time, right? Except you can't like be a weirdo and run around the room pretending you have a sword saying, I am the brave heart of the Lord. Like if you get weird like that, we're going to tell you, knock it off. But it's an open time and it's a Holy Spirit time. And so,
Dude, I have got to send you this Instagram reel that I saw. It's so stinking funny what you just talked about. It
yeah.
literally,
Oh, please send it to me. This stuff really happens.
this guy, he's on this podcast and he's one of the musicians. And I guess he's up in front of the
Oh, I
church.
saw that.
Did you see the one where the guy walks in
And
like a
he's
robe and
like,
a crown?
Jesus,
Yeah.
they're doing it Father.
You haven't seen it. You have no idea what that line is
Oh
that
my gosh,
I was
that was really
dying.
good.
But I love how they titled it. At no point did I have any idea where this story was going.
Oh my
And the
gosh.
guy's telling the story. And it's like you don't know, like, is he having a vision? Is there like you don't think that there's really someone there because who dresses up like Jesus with a crown and robes and his arms outstretched and
And when he goes up on the stage and looks out and he's smiling like he's pleased, you know, my father's pleased with this worship, you know. And then when they remove
he starts yelling, Father, they're doing it
him.
again. They're doing it again. Sorry,
No,
dude. I didn't mean to take you off your subject, but
that's
that's
fine. That's
totally
fine.
what that reminded me of. Like, no crazies, the no crazy rule.
Well, what was amazing was people just started sharing testimonies, and you
Oh.
could just feel the Holy Spirit enter the room. And what was cool, and I say this is cool, is while we're worshiping, this homeless guy walks in at the back, and I didn't even catch it. That shows you I am in a surf town. My antenna's not up. My radar, normally I make sure I can see everything that's going on. I was just in a different mode, and this guy comes, and one of my guys gets up and walks towards the back and starts interacting. And because the guy's at the back getting coffee. And he's in the foyer, like we could see out the door. And so I get up and join him, start talking to the guy, and I quickly assess this is a violent, mentally ill guy. He was being polite, he was keeping it all under, he reeked, but he was very mentally ill. And I quickly was like, okay, this guy's dangerous. So I offered him, because we had an extra plate of food. And I said, hey, why don't you take that with you? Nah, I don't want all that. You got any real food like eggs or, you know? But there was just this, it's hard for me to explain as a psych nurse to people. When someone has an undercurrent of violence, that they're being polite and they're being kind and they're having a civil conversation. And it's not like they're all tense. It's just you learn to recognize somebody who's holding it in. Their mental, there's just something about it. I can't even put it into words. But no sooner did he go out than as soon as he hits, like there's this little garden outside of the front, he is walking across that and he just starts screaming at the top of his lungs. And I was like, wow. You know, looking back. And even at the moment, like muscle memory was like, I can remember Refuge Long Beach, our second day. And do you remember when that girl walked to the front and she was possessed and she started like pretending to open her third eye and she started speaking from the front, kind of like that story you told. And we had to escort her away. And for her that day, I knew, because if you remember on the first day, like five people got saved. So I was like, I knew, I could feel it. There's just times where you got the gospel bursting out of your chest, and I could feel it. I was like, she's a distraction. And I felt all this compassion from the Lord, and I gave her a word, and I said, hey, the Lord loves you so much. He's made you. He wants you to be his daughter. And he's going to set you free, but not today and not here. But I'll be praying for you. And I sent her on because I knew, like, you know, like we did exorcisms, but I knew that the discernment of the Lord was like, you have a duty to preach so that more are saved, not do this exorcism right now, right here. And I knew because I was tempted to start it. And especially when I felt all this compassion, but the Lord just gave me the wisdom. Well, same with this. Like I could have said, all right, well, this is cool, man. We're gonna start a minute. And I just knew he does not belong here today. And brother, I'm telling you, had he come in, the meeting would have been all about him and not about Jesus. And he was sent, whether he had friends, hijacking with him or not, I don't know. But what I do know is, again, it was a distraction. And so I took it as an encouragement, like, well, that's kind of cool because we haven't had that yet in this church. But I'm telling you, brother, the Holy Spirit dropped a bomb during those testimony times. Then we get into the teaching, and I do something different where a lot of times, like I said, the 10, 10, 10, that those four sets of 10, alternating preaching with discussion. I sat on the steps because there's a little stage with steps. Our two little groups are at the front. I mean, we're taking up maybe like a quarter of the room. The room packed to the gills would fit 200 people. So, I got our little half circles. We have to push rows of chairs back so we can make the two half circles. And I just sit on the steps and I just start interacting. Psalm 131. Really amazing psalm, three verses, and we just start talking. And by the way, I set the expectation by telling them that illustration analogy when mom and dad are away. I mean, when mom and dad get out on a date, and I set that, and you can see that really encouraged people. But then we started going through Psalm 131, and I'm interacting. I'm asking them to exposit. What does he mean by this? And then I had things that I would say and follow up. And it was so powerful, Pete. And that's how Jesus taught, by the way. Jesus would say, which one of you, if you had a son that asked for bread, he would interact. And sometimes with this teaching, like he would illustrate, tell parable. It was what we train at Train Like Jesus is when we talk about teaching, we do three types of communication that Jesus uses to train: instruction, illustration, and rabbinic questioning. Those three together, if you can do those like well, if you can mix it up and do like what I'd call a combo move, right? Like when you're playing video games, not just a jab or a kick, it's, three, four, five things in rapid succession. That is master craft, Jesus style teaching. And it just flowed, brother, under the Holy Spirit, just that willingness to say, again, experiment, let go, let God do what he's going to do. And it ended up, people were sharing things. People were, it just flowed. We had a guy celebrating his 1 year sobriety. So we got to, at the very end, everyone was called up to lay hands on him and pray. It was the most interactive church service I've ever had. And like I said, when Ralph Moore comes up to you afterwards and says, that was the most powerful experience of church I have had in the last 8 years. It's Ralph stinking Moore, dude. It was pretty cool. And it wasn't me. I mean, if I'm honest, I had a situation Friday night that was probably one of the hardest trials I've ever had in my
Wow.
life. And so it's really funny. The reason I picked, we're in Philippians, but I was like, A, we're coming to the, I want to know him and the fellowship of his suffering, the power of his resurrection. With this little of our congregation here, I'm not saving that. I'm saving that verse. I'm not going over it. Like, everyone's going to be here for that one. But number two, I had nothing in the tank. So I went to Psalm 131 because it was a short psalm, and it just absolutely matched up with where I was at. And just nothing in the tank. It could have, and I didn't tell anyone the trial I was going through. I still haven't. That's between me and God and my wife right now. And no, it's not like we fought or, she, wasn't our thing. It's a family thing. But I was empty, man. I was completely like emotionally worn out. Hadn't slept very good last couple nights. And it just reemphasized like where Paul said, when I am weak, he is strong. And so I want to encourage you guys that on like there was everything like that wasn't right. It was all the wrong ingredients for what we want on a Sunday, right? Every, big crowd or, I'm feeling awesome and I'm, overflowing to the brim with the Holy Spirit. It was, homeless guy coming in, distracting, like I'm just telling you, like it was, guest worship leader, mother leaders all the way, like everything was wrong. And yet everything was right. So that's part of my church planning diary. If I were to sum that up, it really was that when I'm weak, he's strong. And Christ was glorified. People got to share. And at the end, we went around. One of the things Ralph loves to do is he loves to, in those passages, the three verses, the psalmist seeks comfort. He seeks, let's see, what was it? He says, he has to wait, or he seeks patience for waiting, and then he seeks hope, and I don't remember how it went, but I asked people, which one of these is where you're at today. We're going to do Ralph Moore style. We're just going to, everyone, you can say pass if you don't want to take part, but I'm going to ask just boom, 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 all the, everybody's going to answer. And we took an extra like 10 minutes to do that at the end, which made the service a little longer. But everybody shared. And dude, I am telling you, it was so incredible because with those three things that they needed to work out, when they said it, I said, well, that's the thing God is trying to speak in your life about right now. That's why these trials are happening. That is the area right now God is working on. And people were so encouraged, man. It was just, it's hard for me to explain, but it was just one of those cool. I think we rip our people off sometimes where we just say, hey, just sing these songs and listen to this. There is so much more that the church is capable of. There's so much more, that people can bring to the table, and everybody was mutually edified. It was amazing.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was really neat. So that's my church planner diary for today.
I like it. I mean, there's nothing really to comment on it. It's just, it's the fun of doing the church planning stuff. Like, I don't know if you responded back to that guy who I connected
We
you
did.
guys via email. It was interesting because we were talking, because he's a friend of he's a friend of my, a friend of a friend of mine, right? And so that my friend was like, oh, you got to talk to Pete. I know, because we're going through your book as our small group, and he's like, oh, I know, he knows Peyton. He's got this Christian book and whatnot. And it was funny because like when we started, he goes, well, before we get started, tell me about your faith journey or something like that. Basically, our question of how did you come to faith, right? Which I thought was funny. And I'm like, yeah, man, let me tell you. And then, and one of the things that I always tell people, I grew up and I had a real experience when I was five, right? And just real quick for people that haven't heard that story, I'm 5 years old. My sister and I used to talk to each other through the heater vent. My mom is like telling my sister the gospel story, and I'm listening to it through the heater vent. And I remember when she gets done with it, I go running out of my room, burst into my sister's room, and I'm like crying. I'm like, I want to know Jesus. I want to know Jesus. I had a real experience. I'm still five. I don't know if I really understood it, but I always grew up, and I still to this day will look back at that and go, no, I had a real experience. However, like growing up in the church, dad being a pastor, all that, I get to college. I'm like, I'm going to a Christian university. There's literally chapel 5 days a week. I'm like, I'm not going to church. Like, what am I going to hear? I haven't heard anything I haven't already heard a million times. And church for me, and I would say Christianity, following Jesus, did not really click and make sense until I got involved with you in the Long Beach church plant. Like, church planning changed everything. Church planning was when I was finally like, dude, I am showing up on Sunday because I don't know what's going to go down, but something's going to go down, right? Like, that it became fun. It became the adventure of the first century church, seeing it play out. The crazy lady doing her thing on that first service, the transsexual knife fight in the middle of a church service. Like, you didn't know what was going, like, I'm not missing this, right? But you would see people's lives change. Like, we would say we were a lot of people's last stop before eternity. Like, I don't know how many people we had die at that church.
Lots.
Overdoses. We had Ruben's brother killed by the cops. I mean, like, you never knew what was going down, and you just knew what you were doing was impacting eternity.
It was such a crazy. I remember Big Anthony, like we're in the core team even. I don't know if you remember that phase
Oh,
where, and he's
I remember
like,
when we jumped him into jail, and then they like let
that's
him go, and
it.
wait a second, I was supposed to be here.
Yeah,
They're like,
we're all
nah, get out of
meeting
here.
at some like fast food restaurant in Long Beach, and we're just having a little Bible study and time of prayer. And he's like, guys, I got to turn myself in. And we're like, what? And he's like, yeah, I've been on the run from the law. I can't be following Jesus and be on the run. I gotta turn myself in. So he does. And they're like, hey, people don't do this, man. Like, boom, boom, boom. And the system spat him back out. Like, and we had prayed, man. And he's like, I'm going away. And part of the rest of that meeting that night was trying to figure out, like, he's like, you gotta pray for me because I'm Hispanic, and then there's the white dudes, and then there's the black dudes, and then I gotta pick a gang, and I hate that, and yes, and that, and how do I? And he's like, but the thing is, there are the Bible guys; they kind of stay out of that, and but they're vulnerable, and but kind of people don't mess with them. But I gotta figure all that out because I've been in before, and there's people expecting me to be a certain way when I get in. Like, it's all this stuff that you're like, okay,
Right, the
this is inner city
baggage.
Long Beach, yeah. So, but it is cool, man, that like with church planning, I guess this is kind of the reason I'm doing these diaries is you could do that for one day, just one church service. You could mix it up. You could just say, hey, we're gonna do something completely different today. And I was thinking about this like even this morning. There are people that have young kids and they're like, oh, I don't know if I could bring my. Well, this is kind of a cool thing. When it's highly interactive, like we ask the kids, we're like, so what do you think I was trying to teach you? And they'll talk. Well, I'm four and I got a birthday coming up. They're taking part. It may not be completely on topic, but I love Jesus. And you're like, yeah, that's awesome. And then but and there's a table of food right in front of it. Dude, it work. I don't know why it works. It's kind of like the finances back when you're the treasurer. You're like, I don't know why this works, but it works. It has to be God. And all I'm saying is the early church probably did not have a Sunday school going on in the other room. They were all worshiping together. It just works. I don't know why. Of course, we are eating together like the early church, So maybe those things go together. I'm still trying to work that out. But yeah. So yeah, hey, it's all I know, man, is I am so glad that I jumped you into church planning all those years ago.
I don't know. I don't honestly know how you're able to do all that you do and still do all the church accounting that you need to do at the same
Cool.
time. I
You
mean,
know, yeah, that's it, Pete. I got new breed. I got through the word. I got, a church plant. Hey, you know what? What's changed my life, Pete?
oh,
It
what's that?
made me able to do all this.
Did it make you a new
Simple.
man?
It did. Simplify Church got me to stop looking at pornography. It got me to, oh wait, that's the other ministry you serve.
I remember when you got jumped in to Simplify Church.
Ooh, yeah, by Josh Henry, the baddest accountant in the whole downtown.
This is why we don't have a nice podcast. That's why
That's
we
why
don't
we
have nice
can't get
things.
sponsors. No, I'm teasing. We actually, it is funny. We can get sponsors.
Don't.
We just don't bother going and getting them.
I
We actually can
remember
get
we
some.
had MoGive as a sponsor for what seemed like years.
Yeah.
And then somebody sold the company off. And so the credit card that we would charge didn't go through anymore. And we're like, eh. We just don't even call them for a new one. We're like, eh, whatever. It's over.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's we ended it. That's correct. But yeah, hey, Simplify Church, they are amazing guys. They're gonna help you with all your bookkeeping needs, your accounting, 501c3 help if you need that. There is so much they do that payroll services, by the way. So check them out, simplifiedchurch.com. They're going to do what's on the label. They will simplify your church.
And remember, if you want to reach the ones that nobody's reaching, you need to go where nobody's going and do what nobody's doing.
I think it's supposed to go. And remember, if you want to reach the ones no one's reaching, press one now.